and also 1 Corinthians 16 are two passages that I want to read briefly before we go into the Word of God tonight. Again, thanks for everything. All of you that have said you were praying for me, I appreciate that very much. I certainly need it. Certainly need it. All of our preacher brethren, love every one of you that are here. One man told me one time, I mentioned to him that I didn't have any enemies, and he said, well, that's one way to live. And I said, no, that's the only way to live. Praise God. As far as I know, nobody hates me but the devil. I guess we're even on that. But I certainly don't like him either. Praise God. If I could bust him real good, I would. And the Word of God will have to do that. Because our battle is not fleshly. Our battle is spiritual. Praise God. How many came needing something tonight? Need the Lord to touch you. You need a touch of healing? Wave your hand. Anybody need the Holy Ghost tonight? Praise God. Somebody need a good refreshing in the Holy Ghost tonight? Praise God. Well, you're in the right place at the right time. Because the Lord is in the house. Praise God. And when the Lord is in the house, anything you need, you can get it. John chapter number 11, verse 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 9. One verse of scripture here. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. And I just want to preach a little while tonight on this subject, spiritual hindrances. Spiritual hindrances. Praise God. Now, we know that God has great things that he wants to do. But if you think the enemy is going to sit back and just let you get what you want without any struggle, you have underestimated the spiritual struggle and battle. But I've got great news to you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is of the world. If you need a healing, you can get one. If you need a blessing, you can get one. If you need the Holy Ghost, you can receive it tonight before you leave this place. I'm glad to tell you that tonight. I'm confident that it will happen tonight if you'll just reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. Would you lift your hands and let's lift our voice together and let's ask God to do his work tonight. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for your sweet presence. Thank you for your good word. Anoint my mind that I may think your thoughts. Loose my lips and tongue that I may speak your word. Anoint the ears and the hearts of the hearers that we may hear the word of God. In the name of Jesus, do your wonderful and mighty work. God, when it's all said and done, we'll give you the credit. We'll give you all the glory. We'll give you the honor. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise God. God bless you. May be seated. I think I mentioned this at one meeting in this part of the world not too long ago, that every meeting has its flavor. And youth meetings have their flavor, and so it has kind of a theme or a direction that it goes. Camp meetings has a direction that they go and flow in. But I was looking back even during the service tonight, the word, the acronym PATH, Preserving Apostolic Truth and Holiness. And what this meeting is standing for. And so it is not going to be a camp meeting, although the spirit of a camp meeting can be here. It may not possibly be a youth meeting, although youth can be touched and strengthened and directed while we're in this building. It's primarily meant by this good man of God that this pulpit would be unfettered, that we could receive direction and strengthen the things that remain, and that the word of God could be brought to pass and brought to bear without apology, without limp-wristedness, but with apostolic Holy Ghost authority. I propose to you tonight that if there is no authority in preaching, it's not preaching at all. It's only momentary instruction that you can vote up or down. But when God's word is spoken, then there is something that miraculously happens. As Peter yet spake these words, the Bible said, the Holy Ghost fell. There is something about anointed preaching that makes the word of God so prolific and so powerful and so absolutely essential in this last day that you and I live in. We need a move of the Holy Ghost, and we need a touch of the Spirit of God. We cannot exist without it. Somebody shout in Jesus' name. Praise God. One man said it one time. It was in the book of 2 Timothy. He said, preach the word. He said, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. He said, there is the ingredients for apostolic preaching. If it does not have those four ingredients, then it was not apostolic. And can I tell you that I'm glad that I'm standing and sharing the platform tonight with men of God that will not back up, let up, or shut up, but love this truth. And refuse to let the devil put cotton in their mouth. Refuse to be gagged in a day and hour when men need direction. Hallelujah. Preach to me, man of God. And tell me what I need to hear from the throne of grace. Let's give the Lord another hand clap. Praise God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Let me remind you that this church that we're in is not run on hot air and well water. It is not just run on ingenuity and organization, although I think organization is a wonderful and a beautiful thing. But it can be the noose that hangs you if you're not careful. What we must always remember that this church is a supernatural church. Praise. And that's apostolic truth, my friend. Praise God. And for the last several weeks and months, I've been preaching to our church about the dynamics of the apostolic church. And you can find them all in Acts 2:38 all the way to verse 47. There's about 20 of them that are there. And I don't have time to preach that. But what I wanted to point out to you is that this is an apostolic supernatural move of the Spirit of God. It cannot be run like the Baptist church. It cannot be run like the charismatic church. It is an entity that is unique, all of its own. There is nothing like an apostolic church. And there is nothing like apostolic preaching. And there is nothing that is as powerful as a sweet move of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Praise God. So anywhere in the middle of this message tonight, if the Holy Ghost hits you, it will not bother me at all. Matter of fact, what makes me a little concerned is when people sit there with set jaw and with sleepy eyes, wondering if the preacher's going to hurry up and shut up. Praise God. But what really lights my fire is when somebody said, come on, preacher, preach to me. Preach this depression off of me. Preach this doubt out of my heart. Give me some direction in the Holy Ghost. Brother, that's a crowd where anything can happen. And I believe that's the kind of crowd we have around here tonight. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I want to just elaborate on that just a little while. This is a supernatural organism. And if we ever get to thinking that we can do it with mental gymnastics, if you will, or by some kind of oratory, trying to match the wits and the minds of men outside of the walls of the secular church, then we are going to do nothing but dig our own hole and make our own grave and kill ourselves. We cannot compete with the talent of this world. We cannot compete with the oratory and the geniuses of men's minds. But you see, that's not what causes the work of the Spirit. It's by the foolishness of preaching that saved them that believe. That your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hallelujah! A man can get up and stutter over his words, say hallelujah 1,000 times, and preach through his nose. But if the anointing of God begins to fall in that congregation, then people will walk out of wheelchairs. Blinded eyes will be opened. And the lost will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's what it's all about. I said, that's what it's all about. Praise God, praise God. It started out apostolic. It started out supernatural. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound. Somebody shout, suddenly. Brother, it happened so quick you don't even know when it's going to happen. Because that's why it's supernatural. You can't figure it out. You can't put it 1 + 1. You just get in the Spirit and just wait on the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes, that's when you tap into it. That's when you jump into it. That's when you say, have your way, Jesus. Whatever you want, that's what I want. Hallelujah. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. Somebody shout, from heaven. From heaven. Brother, you don't orchestrate this up. You can't get the music loud enough to orchestrate this up. Brother, when there is a supernatural move of the Holy Ghost, it comes from heaven. And you can tell the difference. Some of you are sitting on that, but that's exactly the truth. I like good music and I thank God for great talent, but great talent won't do anything but make you tired and hurt your ears. But brother, if God can blow the wind from heaven and blow the stale out and bring in the fresh, anything can happen. I'm telling you what I feel in the Holy Ghost. There's no telling what's going to happen around here tonight. Somebody could walk out with a miracle. Somebody could walk out with an answer. Somebody could walk out with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah! Praise God, praise God. Everybody say, praise the Lord. It was born in the Spirit. Praise God. The sound that came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Praise God. Because when the Holy Ghost starts moving, you can't sit down anymore. It does something to you. You can't sit placidly by with folded arm and with some kind of a disgruntled eye. When the Holy Ghost starts breathing on you, it brings you up on your feet. It puts a smile on your face. It puts a twinkle in your eye and it puts joy in your heart. Hallelujah. Don't look down your nose at me when I'm dancing because I feel the wind of the Holy Ghost and I can't sit down anymore. Well, glory to God. It filled the house. Somebody say it filled the house. Brother, that's what needs to happen around here tonight, from the front row of chairs all the way to the back door into the entryway. Fill the house. No spectators. Nobody sitting around with their finger up in the air wanting to know, well, I wonder if that's God or not. Well, you better let the preacher do that. Best thing you can do is don't let him pass you by when he's walking down your aisle. Oh, Holy Ghost, fill the house. Oh, Holy Ghost, fill the house. They began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Praise God, as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Nobody whispering in their ear telling them what syllables to say. Praise God. Nobody like that one man that was shining my dad's shoes years ago. And he was going to an apostolic church and he said, well, have you got the Holy Ghost? He said, yeah, but my wife doesn't have it. He said, she hasn't learned to say Jesus fast enough yet. And that's the way some people feel about it. But brother, when you get this real Holy Ghost, it's going to be more than just a stammering tongue. And it's going to be more than a da, da, da. But it's going to be a language that the Holy Ghost will speak through you. And it will change you from the inside out. Can I get a witness on that tonight? Well, this is apostolic truth. It's apostolic truth. It's repent, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. That is the only plan of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved.
Glory to God. You know what I tell our folks at home? You may be seated. You may be seated. I tell our folks at home, if Acts 2:38 don't light you up, then you have lost the concept. It doesn't matter if it's a young convert that's just called to preach, or somebody testifying, or an old Bible school man getting up there teaching a Bible lesson, and he gets across Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 38, it ought to still put a shout in your feet, because that's what dug you out of sin. That's what put you in the church. That's what took the cigarettes out of your mouth. That's what put your family back together again. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody said, praise the Lord. I must hurry because I could stay here a long time. The church was born in the Spirit. It can only exist in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Why do we think that we can start out in fleshly ways or a spiritual manner and then end up in a carnal disposition? Praise God. Well, we can just have a certain number of songs and the preacher's got to preach 20 minutes and then we'll all go home and just live the same old way. I don't know about you, but I am hungry for an apostolic outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I can't think of a better environment that we're in 2010 than right now, that the world is hungry. They are tired of being lied to. They want something that's real. And we've got it. We've got it. We've got it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Psalm 127, 1 and 2, the Bible declares, except the Lord build the house, and they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waiteth but in vain, or waketh but in vain. And then he mentions on, and I don't have the time to read it all, but it says that it's vain to stay up late and get up early and eat the bread of sorrows, because we're all worried about there, chewing our fingernails all the way to our elbow. Worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. Don't you know that this is God's church? I don't know what's going to happen in my church, but I say my church not because I own it, but because I'm a part of it. I don't know what's going to happen there this week or next week or next month, but I do know it's God's church. And the word of God said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There may be spiritual struggle, but I know we're going to have victory in Jesus' name. Well, praise the Lord. And so I began to look through here and I began to understand and write some things down today, that if it is a spiritual thing, and sometimes we forget about it being a spiritual thing. And I feel just a little undertow, and I don't want to accentuate that here tonight. But I just want to let you know that there are some folks that feel like, well, it's just a real shallow experience, you know, shout just a little bit and then go home. And there really isn't a whole lot of spiritual activity going on. But the enemy does not like what's going on here in PATH tonight. And the enemy does not like the men of God sitting on this platform preaching the word of God and holding the standard high and keeping the doctrine pure. But I've got some good news for you tonight. There's a great and effectual door that's open to us. Hallelujah. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. There's a door that's open to us. The problem is not that we don't have an open door. The problem is we've got many adversaries. That's the problem. Before I get through here tonight, I want to just assure you that we're on the right side. And that my God has the ability to do whatever we need him to do. And that the devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. Said, preacher, are you looking for a devil behind every bush? No, sir, no, sir. I'm not looking for the devil. I'm looking for God. Praise God. But at the same time, I will not put my head in the proverbial sand and expose my vulnerable parts and let hell kick me around because I don't think he exists. When the devil shows up, I've got the power and the authority to cast it out, cast it down, and to move on. Well, glory to God. Praise the Lord. Everybody said, praise the Lord. So I found out this. A lot of times they say, well, you know, we got some personality problems. We got all these other problems and all that. But I found out in 2 Thessalonians 2:7 that there is a spirit of iniquity. In Luke 13:11, there is a spirit of infirmity. Isaiah 61, there is a spirit of heaviness or depression. There's a spirit of divination. Acts 16:16. 2 Timothy 1:7, there's a spirit of fear. Praise God. There's a spirit of slumber. Romans 11:8. There's a spirit of the world or worldliness. 1 Corinthians 2:12. And there is a spirit of Antichrist, 1 John 4:3. A spirit of error, 1 John 4:6. But at the same time, there's a spirit of error, there is a spirit of truth. At the same time that there's a spirit of worldliness, there's a spirit of holiness, Romans 1:4. And just as there is a spirit of divination, the Bible said in Ephesians 1:17, there is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What I'm trying to say is there are some things we're trying to battle on a fleshly arena when we need to get in the Holy Ghost. Not everybody that's sick has a spirit of infirmity, but there are some folks that have the spirit of infirmity that just need a good spiritual breakthrough. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've already waded off into it now. I might as well finish it. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. You may be seated. Some people are just carnal. I've heard people say, well, they're just worldly. They're just carnal. And there is sometimes that is true when all they need is a good Bible study or a verse of scripture or a good rebuking. But there's other times that there's a spirit of worldliness on them. And they need more than intellectualism. They need a spiritual breakthrough. Y'all ain't hearing me. Sometimes folks said, well, the easiest thing about it, you're just trying to make it so simple. All you want to get them to do is talk in tongues and shout. I'm telling you that if they can get in the Holy Ghost, there can be more things conquered and more things cured in one moment's time of an avalanche of the Holy Ghost than 100 hours of your counseling in an office. That's apostolic truth. I said, that's apostolic truth. Well, glory to God. Praise God. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, you can read Dobson's books all you want to, and you can read psychology books all you want to. And you can learn all the ins and outs and say, well, they got this phobia, that phobia. They've got this crisis and that crisis and all this kind of thing. But I'm telling you, there is nothing like a move of the Holy Ghost. There is nothing like a getting a renewing in the spirit that can break chains, that can break the yoke, that can open up the door of the prison. Remember, this is a supernatural organism. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going somewhere with all of this. The Bible declared in Mark 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them, not might, not maybe, but shall. Follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God, and they went forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following, confirming the word with signs following, confirming the word with signs following. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, let's keep on preaching it, but let the Holy Ghost do what it wants to do. Let the Spirit of God do what it desires to do. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Praise God. I guess I'm going to be preaching a little while here tonight. They gave it to me early, so I guess I get to preach my time out tonight. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout amen. Praise God. Can I tell you that in the last 2 years, I probably, and to God be the glory, please, if you misread this, it's because you want to. Because I realize I am nothing and I don't have anything to offer without God's help. I just know I'm a God-called preacher and I need his help. But I have probably seen more miracles in Wheelersburg in the last 2 years than I have my entire ministry. And it's not because I'm smart, and it's not because I'm anything, but all of a sudden I begin to realize there's more to this picture than just coming down and sitting down and hoping something's going to take place. Brother, God wants to move in this last time. The Holy Ghost wants to be poured out. And hell hates me preaching that to these preachers and these saints here tonight. But bless your heart, I'm going to preach it on anyhow. I just want to say on the forefront of this message that the greatest revival that we've ever had has not yet happened yet. The greatest miracle has not yet been performed. The most powerful outpouring has not happened yet. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Brother Johns, I refuse to live in the past. I refuse to let the devil put my face down in the mud and make me feel like that my best days are over. No, sir. You let me get up and get my feet out from under me or get my feet under me, and I'm going to get out there and I'm going to preach in Jesus' name. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to pray somebody else through the Holy Ghost. I'm going to win another soul. I'm going to pack that building out. We're going to start another one. My God, we've got great things in store for us, but it cannot be done with liturgy. It cannot be done with organization. It has to be done by the working of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I thought about it earlier today, and when I was trying to put some of this together and scratch a few things out and then print some stuff out so I could read. Sometimes I can't read my own writing. Have to be like Daniel, read on the wall. Have to ask somebody to come help me. But I thought about it standing beside my pastor who is deceased now. And there was a man that came up that wanted the Holy Ghost. And he pastored in the Dallas area. The man had come over to do some work and could not speak English, just very, very little. And the Holy Ghost got to moving, and people got to worshiping God, and this man began to weep, and so they brought him up front, and he wanted the Holy Ghost, and they began to talk to him, said he wanted this, what this was. And so my pastor, which is my father, looked at him and tried to explain to him about receiving the Holy Ghost, and he kept saying, no sabe, no sabe. They went and got the Santa Biblia and tried to find Acts 2:38 and read it to him. And he's still trying to understand. And Dad just closed his eyes and started talking in tongues. And the man looked up and goes, see, 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 lifted his hands and got the Holy Ghost. After he got the Holy Ghost, he said, I understand him. He speak my dialect. It wasn't Spanish. It was a high mountain dialect. Brother, I'm telling you, this is a work of the Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. It's not by power and it's not by might, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Several months ago, I was preaching in another state and was invited to do an anniversary service, and I was feeling very burdened whenever I came to the pulpit that night. Please don't think I'm on a crusade. Just listen, just let me preach tonight, okay? Just let me preach. And I remember a large congregation, the building was packed, and I was worried about the next generation. Knowing that I was raised in a very spiritual atmosphere and saw miracle after miracle in the church that I was raised in, and not just what I heard about or read about, but I saw it with my eyes and stood right there by the man of God and watched it happen. And I asked that large congregation that night, I said, how many in here have ever seen a miracle or had one happen to you? Only three hands went up. Now, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands tonight. But if the next generation, all they get is stories. If all they get is what they read out of the Bible, and that's good. But it's got to come down to this generation. And there are spiritual hindrances that do not want us to pass this glorious, apostolic, Holy Ghost, powerful, miraculous message down to another generation. Hallelujah. I couldn't help it, but I just started preaching some faith. This was back in April. I began to preach a little bit of faith, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and told me to pray for the sick that night. And little did I know, there was a lady that came, a pastor's wife. And they said she was very, very sick, and she'd had some cancer. And so we prayed. And when I prayed for her, I felt that witness of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know. I can't tell you that I know a whole lot, but I just felt God when I prayed for her. And I looked at the pastor, I said, I'm looking for a good report on this one. Right. Hallelujah. So I called about a week later. I said, have you heard from the pastor's wife? No, I haven't. I said, well, when you talk to them, you tell them I'm believing God that we're going to have a great report. Right. Praise God. Well, I got the report in July. And it was at another meeting. And in this meeting, the story came that the lady was approached and asked how she was doing. And she told him that she had just recently went to the doctor. He told her that the holes in her bones that were caused from the cancer. The cancer was eating holes in the bones. There was cancer in her lungs and cancer also on her liver, here it is, and we're all the holes in the bones were caused from the cancer were all healed up. The large spot on the lung were all but gone and hard to see, and the 6th growths on her liver had shrunken so much they had considered them to be gone. And to God be the glory. Brother, God is still a miracle working God. Praise God. Hallelujah. God gets all the glory. God gets all the glory. Praise God. Look over at your neighbors and God can do anything. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Praise God. Now, let me just say this, because this is what I'm feeling right now. I'm feeling there's some of you who said, well, I just know a bunch of folks that didn't get healed. Just because somebody didn't get healed does not mean that God is still not the healer. We don't all know the mind of God and the will of God, but can I tell you, there are some things that God wants to do to glorify His name. Brother Garza, one good miracle will pack this place out. I know you're just looking around here and saying, but we're preaching the gospel. Absolutely preach the gospel. Absolutely preach standards and holiness. But I'm telling you that one cripple coming out of a wheelchair that the doctor said was completely impossible would stir enough tongues and get enough interest that people say, hey, if you need something from God, go to Faith Tabernacle. You can get something from God at that church. We've got the message. I said we've got the message. And we've got the right message. Hallelujah. Maybe seated. Somebody came to me the other day and they said, Pastor, preacher, I need prayer. I was preaching somewhere and they said, I need prayer. I said, what's the problem? They said, I've got fibromyalgia. I said, no problem. We got a lady in our church got healed of fibromyalgia. I said, I'll pray for you. Hallelujah. I wrote down a few of those things. Amen. Cancer of the blood, diverticulitis, egg-sized tumor, lady out of a wheelchair not expected to live. Fibromyalgia, a lady that had a broken bone that had about an inch that needed to grow. They had this little thing around her leg, and it had been that way for over a year, and they said if there was no more growth, they were going to cut it off. I came across the other day when I was cleaning out the office. I found the x-rays. And I remembered, I'd forgot all about that miracle. One Sunday night, just a few weeks before they were going to go in and determine whether they were going to cut it off or not, the Holy Ghost began to move. And we prayed for her and she began to dance on that bad leg. Hallelujah. She brought me back to x-ray, and in 2 weeks that leg grew the entire inch, and she's still walking on it today. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Another lady, God healed of Crohn's disease. Another lady, God healed a tumor and cancer. Actually the cancer was shriveled. When they went in to take it all out, they said she didn't really need the surgery. It was already gone. And then I think at PCC, I talked about Connie Bastine with a broken back in ICU, not expected to live. And on Easter Sunday night, she came in on her own accord 5 months later. The doctors didn't expect her to live, and said if she did live, she'd be comatose or a vegetable and would be a quadriplegic. She walked in and walked up to the front, and we prayed for her and asked God to fill her with the Holy Ghost. Now, I just want to tell you, some of you may think, well, I don't know if I believe in all of that or not. I do. Don't wake me up from my dream. My God's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask or think according to that power that works in us. Lift your hands and let's glorify the Lord together. Hallelujah. Woo, shabada baba kata bahashata. Hallelujah baba kota bahoshada la bahasa. I feel faith burning in this house. Glory to God. Shabara baba kate yana la mashando bokoro yete yala la baha. Praise God. You may be seated. Sister Fern McQuithy, the end part of April of this year. Good saint of God's been a member of our church ever since I came there. Very wonderful, wonderful elderly lady. And she's still working. And I noticed on Sunday night she had tennis shoes on. And that's not her style. And she was limping. Her leg was swole up. And she came up for prayer. What had happened was in her leg she'd had a large blood clot. And the doctor told her that she needed to stay at home, proper leg up, and that she'd be out of work until that was healed. And she said, I just could not stay home and not come to church. Well, I thought, that's easy. Anybody's going to come to church, God's going to honor that. Praise God. Praise God. Don't sit home and feel sorry for yourself when you got problems. Get to church. Hallelujah. We just started revival with Brother West. Praise God. You may be seated. And so we prayed for her, and the Holy Ghost hit her and hit me too when I was praying for her. I said, Sister Fern, I believe everything's going to be all right. She said, I believe so. Praise God. When she come back to church on Monday night, she had her heels back on. She had went to work Monday morning. She said, when I woke up Monday morning, all the swelling was gone, all the pain and the fever was gone, and I've been on my leg all day and I hadn't had any problem, and she hadn't had any problems since. Brother, what the doctor can't do, Dr. Jesus can do. And Jesus can do it methodically and perfectly every time. Praise God. What I'm trying to preach to you, this is a supernatural organism. We cannot go back in the realm of the flesh. We cannot operate in the arm of the flesh. This is a Holy Ghost operation. It's as apostolic as Acts chapter 2 verse 38. It's in your Bible and mine. Praise God. Maybe see, the first of this year, we had a couple that had a preemie baby, and the baby could not drink the milk without choking. The doctor was taken, the baby was taken to the children's hospital in Columbus, Ohio State. And they were working on it and working on it. And they refused. The nursing staff at the very beginning refused to allow me to come in to pray for the baby. That's very seldom the case, but evidently there was some God hater in there. And so finally, after about 3 weeks, they said, well, we're gonna, you know, hopefully in a few days, said, if that baby can drink the milk without choking and all of that, we'll let it go home. It's got to do that for 5 days. And Eric looked at the nurse. He said, the only thing that's keeping my baby from going home is my pastor praying for it. And she looked at him. She said, you want your pastor to pray for this baby? He said, absolutely. And so he called me on the cell phone. I said, I'll be up tomorrow. Hallelujah. We prayed for the baby. In 5 days, it went home. Still doing good. I come against the spirit of unbelief. I come against the spirit of intimidation. I come against every devil of hell that would try to rob us of the message of power and of the supernatural that God put in the church. The days of revival are not over. The days of miracles are not over. Come on, let's worship the Lord together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Praise God. I got lots of notes, but I just feel like just kind of preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe before we get through here tonight, the Holy Ghost wants to kiss this place. The Spirit of God wants to blow through this place. And if you've got a problem, I've got a God that can take care of your problem. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to that power that works in us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. The list that I read to you, I'm still thinking about other things. One of the young ministers in our church, when God filled him with the Holy Ghost 20 years ago, he had severe asthma. God not only filled him with the Holy Ghost, but healed him of asthma. And he hasn't had any problem, and he's preaching now. Hallelujah. One of our old timers had cataracts. God removed the cataracts from his eyes. On and on and on. Whether it be cancer, cataracts, cold, back problem, it really don't matter. It's in the provision by whose stripes ye were healed. A great and effectual door is opened unto us. Well, glory to God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Praise God. I thought some, you know, now that the Lord took my father here just a few months ago, and there's a lot of nostalgia and stories that things I forgot have come to mind. Times that when I assisted him for nearly 10 years, stories and things that happened, and when I was by his side, and questions that I asked him. And I thought about the one time, because he went to preach a revival in Canada, and 37 received the Holy Ghost in 7 nights, and over 20 of them had sought for 20 years or more for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And God had gifted him to pray for those that needed the Holy Ghost. And many times he just barely touched their head with oil, and they'd hit the floor talking in tongues. Praise God. And so the first night that when he got there, and I remember asking him about that revival. I was just a young lad, and we were riding in the old work truck because we was always in a building program. And we was riding in that old truck, and I asked him about that revival. And this came to me the other day. I got thinking about it. And I said, what got that thing going? He said, well... He said, I was just preaching. He said, I hadn't been preaching very long, but I was preaching on faith. And he said, I said, there's a God back there. He said, his face just, to me, kept getting bigger and bigger. And he said, I just saw him every time I turned around. He said, so finally, right in the middle of the message, he said, I pointed at him. He said, sir, do you want the Holy Ghost? And he jumped up and said, yes, I do. He said, come on up and get it. He said, when he come to the front, I asked him, he said, you know anything about the Holy Ghost? He said, he looked at me with that little sneer, said, I've been praying 40 years. He said, I had to talk to him a little bit. And I said, no, hold it there. What did you tell him? He said, I looked at him and said, if you knew how to get the Holy Ghost, you'd already have it. You don't know how to get it, so now listen to me. And the man said, yes, sir. And he said, there's a couple of little issues here. He said, are you repented? He said, yes, I've lived repented. I have nothing that I have not repented of. He said, then yours is an issue of faith. And he said, I just built a little faith. He said, son, when I touched his head with oil, that man hit the floor talking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Can I tell some of you the reason why you may not have what you need from God is because you've got yourself in a rut and you have become your own spiritual hindrance. I would like to advise somebody here tonight, why don't you break your rut? Why don't you break out of your rut tonight? Why don't you quit doing it the way you've always done it and try something different tonight and roll away the stone? I feel the Holy Ghost. My. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Now, I've got all this lined up hermeneutically, but I'm just preaching the way I'm feeling right now. Praise God. Because, you know, we could get ourselves all strung out on ABC and 1, 2, 3. But, you know, anytime God wants to move while I'm preaching, he can have the floor anytime he wants. And if it hits you, brother, right in the middle of my preaching, it ain't going to bother me. I'll shout with you. Because there's one thing that's important in path, and that is we've got to have a move of the Holy Ghost. We've got the message. We have the message. One God, Jesus' name, apostolic, Holy Ghost, tongue talking, holiness. Well, praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Give me just a few more minutes. We could let this roll right on. But I feel something here. There's a barrier here. Okay? And we're going to knock that barrier out of the way. Okay? And I feel the Holy Ghost moving right here, and there's a strong river, but there's a barrier right here. There are some ruts we're going to have to break. Okay? We have got ourselves in a 1, 2, 3, and we've done it this way, and we get to this point. Why don't we climb on up another level tonight? Another notch in the Holy Ghost. And when we go home after path meeting, we can go home and kick the devil in the teeth and say, greater is he that's in us than he that's of the world. We're going home to have a revival. Going home to have a move of God. Hallelujah. We're going home with our heart full of faith, knowing that he's able to do it. Knowing that's part of the message. Praise God. You may be seated in Jesus' name. And this is what I learned, but I found something the other day, Elder Garza, that I want to bring out here in just a moment. Number one, when somebody's receiving the Holy Ghost or praying for the Holy Ghost, they become what we call a chronic. There's actually, I used to teach for a long time, there was only two reasons why they didn't get the Holy Ghost. I found out recently there are three. And that does not mean that I preach false doctrine. I just lived long enough to learn. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the first thing is the reason why people do not get what they need from God is a lack of repentance. Everybody say a lack of repentance. Brother, if you're not submitted to your preacher, if you are living a worldly and carnal lifestyle, God doesn't owe you anything. Well, praise God. Praise God. Kind of reminds me of a lady. And I'm going to do a teach preach here now, okay? I'll preach a little bit. I'll kick back in that gear in a minute. But let me teach preach here. That's my favorite anyhow. Sunday morning style. And a lady came up several years ago, and she wanted the Holy Ghost. And very few people in our church ever seek more than a service or two for the Holy Ghost. And especially if they're a new person that knows nothing about God, they seem to be easier to pray through than somebody that's been around for a long time and get themselves in a rut. Well, Jackie wanted the Holy Ghost. And so somebody invited her to church, and she prayed, she shook, she cried, she repented. At least that's what I thought. She was just crying and seeking after God. She didn't get the Holy Ghost. And I'm thinking, God, what's wrong with the church? What's wrong with us? Well, you know, is there anything we can do? Is it our fault? And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, you don't know her heart. So after church, she comes up, she said, they were telling me that I need to be baptized in Jesus' name after I've repented. And she said, maybe that's the reason why I didn't get the Holy Ghost. I said, Jackie, I'll baptize you in Jesus' name. But there's some questions I want to ask you first. I said, are you fully repented? And she said, yes, I asked God to forgive me. I said, is there anything in your life, smoking, drinking, or anything in your lifestyle that would displease God? That you are hanging on to. She said, does that mean I can't live with? And she named a guy she was living with. I said, yes, you'll have to move out. She said, I can't do that. I said, that's why you didn't get the Holy Ghost, and I will not baptize you. She walked away sorrowfully. But Elder Morton, I remember 3 weeks later, I came home on a Monday night, and I picked up the phone, and I could hear the traffic in the background. She said, and the woman's crying. She said, Pastor Davis. I said, yes. She said, this is Jackie. Do you remember me? I said, yes, I do. She says, I've got to have that Holy Ghost. And I said, well, are you willing to repent? She said, my clothes are in my trunk. I just moved out, and I'm moving in with my mama. She said, I got to have that Holy Ghost. I said, well, you can come Wednesday night. She said, can I come tonight? I said, yeah, we'll meet you at the church. Hallelujah. When I got to the church, somebody already let her in, and she was weeping across the altar. And I said, well, let's get baptized. She come up out of the water, speaking in other tongues, as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Brother, if you'll repent of your sin, God will give you the Holy Ghost. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. See, we don't know the hearts of people. We don't know the hearts of people. Praise God. But she wanted the Holy Ghost and she got the Holy Ghost. And the second reason people do not receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a lack of faith. If I say a lack of faith. Because if you don't believe that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, you can't please God. Praise God. When you repent of your sin and you lift your hands before God, you've got to believe that God wants you to have it more than you want it. Because He died on a cross, shed His blood. He wants you to have the Holy Ghost more than you want it. Hallelujah. It's like a gift and He's handing it out there. Don't beg Him for it. That's a lack of faith. Don't say, please God, give it to me. He said He'd give it to you if you'd repent of your sin. Reach out by faith and get a hold of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Seen hundreds of people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A lot of them in the water. A lot of them by the laying on of hands. I've seen some of them get it right in the middle of service. Just jump right up between the pews. Hallelujah. Lift up their hands and get to talking in tongues. Praise God. I remember when I first started preaching, I didn't know very much. But there was a little old girl that was on the front row about 14 and sought the Lord for a few weeks. And the pastor had asked me to preach a little revival. I think I preached everything I knew. And so that night I turned the service. We were getting ready to close the revival. Nobody got the Holy Ghost. And while we was making our preliminary remarks, I noticed a little girl is all standing. She's sitting there and she's shaking a little bit. Finally, she lifts her hands and she says, can I say something? And I looked at her and I got that little check, you know, and I said, go ahead. She said, I'm feeling something. And I said, the Holy Ghost is on you. And when I pointed at her, she started talking in tongues. Didn't even get to lay hands on her. Well, I'm telling you, this is a supernatural organism. And if you believe God, it can happen to you. It can happen to you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm talking about spiritual hindrances tonight. First spiritual hindrance is the lack of repentance. Amen. The lack of faith is a spiritual hindrance. But I could talk to you a whole lot about unbelief. The Bible says in Hebrews 3 and 4, they entered not in because of unbelief. They didn't have a lot of other sin, but they didn't believe God. And the Bible said they didn't enter in because of unbelief. But if you got faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you can say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Hallelujah. Can I just tell you, I'm not trying to be vindictive here tonight, but this is a message that a lot of apostolics have lost. We have forgot about the power of the supernatural. We have forgot about the outpouring of the Spirit of God in the realm of the miraculous. It belongs to the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I don't have time to go into all of this. You know what? We might just have a prayer line around here tonight. Now, if that's offensive to you, I'm not trying to be offensive. I can only do what I feel like doing in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. We're not trying to be like the denominational world, the charismatic world. They got it from the real church. They stole it from us, and then we walked up and said, well, I guess God don't want us to have it. Baloney. God wants us to have a move of the Holy Ghost. God wants the power of God to be demonstrated in the church. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Psalm 78:41. They turned back and limited the Holy One of Israel. God, the great God who stood on the balcony of nothing and created the worlds with the spoken word, was limited by a handful of people that refused to cross the Jordan River. Praise God. The Bible declares in the book of Mark, He could there do no mighty work because of their unbelief. I'm talking about a God that can raise the dead, cast out devils, but people can limit Him with their unbelief. And I'm going to tell you, I come against the spirit of unbelief tonight because the spirit of faith is rising in this place tonight. I come against the spirit of depression because the spirit of joy is in this place tonight. I come against the oppressions of the devil because the spirit of anointing is in this room tonight. And it's the anointing that will destroy the yoke. Hallelujah. It's a great door opened. Oh, I want to paint that picture for you. Be seated. I want to paint that picture. The door's open. What you need him to do, the door's open. The door's open. Praise God. I'm not here preaching blab it, grab it, name it, claim it. But can I tell you that if you're going to sit there and not believe God and feel sorry for yourself, say, well, I'm just going to hold my own until Jesus comes, then you're probably not going to see much. And you have limited the Holy One of Israel. Go ahead and believe God for your neighbor. Go ahead and believe God for your unsaved loved ones. Just go right ahead and take the ropes off the hand of God. Praise the Lord. So many cities, he could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Everybody say, because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. Brother, amen. If you don't believe God can do it, then it ain't going to happen to you. The gods are looking for somebody like an Andrew and said, you know what? We got a little lad's lunch here. We got a little lad's lunch here. Praise God. Like the four men that were toting their buddy. The house is full, but Jesus is in the house. And we just can't take no for an answer. And we're going to take off the roof. And we're going to get rid of the barriers so we can get to Jesus. Come on. God's looking for somebody tonight that has the faith that says, whatever it takes, I'm going to get to Jesus. Praise God. So the first barrier is lack of repentance. Lack of faith, second barrier. The third barrier, you know, and I don't even want to get in the spiritual barrier because there's devils that fight too. I'm not trying to make everything real ugly and gargoylish and ghoulish. Praise God. But the devil don't like what's going on around here tonight. But I don't remember asking him what he thought. Matter of fact, I don't give a rip what he thinks. He can't stop a move of God if you want to have one. Because where there are two or three gathered together in his name, he's going to be here. And there ain't nothing the devil can do about that. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. I could talk about when Jesus stood there in the temple or in the synagogue, and there was a man, the Bible said, had the spirit of an unclean devil. And when he was up there reading the Bible, this man started crying out, trying to make some distractions. Brother, I've seen that happen more times than I want to talk about. Well, the devil will cause all kinds of distractions. What do? Do you sit there and make a big sport out of it? No, you go on and override it in Jesus' name. You tell the ushers to cart it out and you go ahead and have church. Y'all ain't listening to me. When something bad starts happening, don't start looking around getting your minds all discouraged and getting all disappointed and start looking around finding what's going on. Get your mind on Jesus and have church. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. And Jesus cast that devil out. It's amazing. It's amazing. He came to church. He came to church. There's some devils come to church all the time. Always trying to do whatever they can do. You know, just to drop off spirits and try to stir up turmoil and whatever else. I'm telling you, the time has come for the church to rise to the occasion and to have a move of God. And I'm going to throw this out for good measure. Let your preacher preach. And don't you second guess him if he has to put a devil out the door. He's trying to spare the spirit of revival in the church. Praise God. That's what the man of God's for. Praise God. To draw lines. Close doors and open doors. Tell him at our church at home. I said, I stand at the gate. I determine who comes in and goes out. Praise the Lord. I said, well, you know, I think that's what the outside the world thing. Well, that preacher's taking too much authority. I'm not taking authority. I was given it. I am responsible for the sheep. I'm not going to let the spiritual swine flu come walking in and me turn my head. Not on my watch. I want there to be a spiritual environment. Well, glory to God. Praise God. You may be seated. So we have spiritual hindrances. So hindrances is not just physical. We not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Come on now. We got to bring our mind in on this thing. When you walk through those doors, forget about what it was yesterday and what's going to happen tomorrow. But tonight, we're going to have some more church. Tonight, we're going to have a breakthrough. Tonight, we're going to let the Holy Ghost have its way. Hallelujah. Let me talk about the final thing that is a hindrance, and that is pride. I'd forgot about that. If you are repentant and you've got faith, pride can stop you from getting what you need from God. Pride can lock you down. Pride can keep you from getting a miracle. Pride can keep you from getting the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I don't know if I read it in Brother Bean's book or if I heard it on the tape or whatever, but he told a story. Some of you that have heard this may relate to it, but I'm going to just speak what I can remember. Said there was a man that came to Old Tent Revival, had sawdust on the floor, had a white suit on, and he wanted the Holy Ghost. And said he got on his knees and he took his handkerchief out. I'm sure this is clean. And he would fold it down and he'd put his knees on that white cloth and he'd pray like this. He wanted the Holy Ghost. And people were getting the Holy Ghost everywhere, but he wasn't getting it. And he'd come back several nights. Well, on the night that he did get the Holy Ghost, he's got his cloth out. He's like this. Some old guy next to him is just getting it and he's just shouting. And he hits the guy that has the white suit on, knocks him over in the sawdust. When he hits over in the sawdust, he starts talking in tongues. Hey, don't say what you won't do. If I get the Holy Ghost, well, I ain't going to cry. Guess what you're going to do? When I get the Holy Ghost, I ain't going to jump. Guess what you're going to do? But I promise you, you won't keep your hands in your pocket. Hallelujah. Forget about your suit coat. Forget about your dress. Forget about your hairdo. And reach out in faith and say, God, whatever I need to do, let me do it. Oh, clap your hands to the Lord, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand everybody if you will. In Mark 8:24, he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. Now when Jesus touched that man, now we look at it and said, why couldn't God have healed him completely the first time? Could he not heal his eyes? Now, I found this the other day and I want to bring it to you. When Jesus healed people, they were usually immediately and completely healed. In several instances, he wasn't even in the presence of the person that he healed. Why couldn't Jesus, who created everything in 6 days, who could raise the dead, heal this man completely and instantly? Of course he could have done that. But he seemingly chose not to. He wanted to send a special message to people today. Now, first century medicine knew of no way to restore sight to those born blind, but modern medicine can sometimes restore the sight of those born blind. On receiving their sight, such people usually suffer from a condition that is termed agnosia. They can see, but their brains have not yet developed the connections necessary to interpret what they are seeing. Such people often say when seeing for the first time that people look upside down or look like trees. Over time, the connections form between perception and reality. So the healing of the man born blind was really two miracles. Perhaps Jesus wanted those of us who live in a time when such knowledge is available to recognize that these stories of miracles are not just simplistic stories. They are medically accurate. And so what actually happens is when God touches us sometimes, the connection is not made there. We can see, but we don't see. That's why he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Hallelujah. And so we've got the message and we've got the doctrine. Now God wants to do something to your spirit so that what you hear and what you see can connect with your soul. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When I start feeling the Holy Ghost, I want to do more than just shout. I want to tap into the river and say, Jesus, what is it that you want me to do? Hallelujah. Praise God. Now we got some distractions here. Now we got all the chairs out of the way. Praise God. Now I'm going to tell you one other little quick story. I don't have time to read it. Time is running away. But there was talking about Bartimaeus. The Bible said when he cried out to the Lord, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The Bible said he cried with a loud voice or something of that sort, which means that he screamed. But the second time they said he cried even so more, the more. And when you look at the Greek word for that, it's a different word than to cry aloud. It means to squeak or squeal as a bird in utter desperation. All of a sudden he went from, Jesus, thou son of David. All of a sudden he went from, ah! Jesus is passing by and I've got to have my miracle. Hallelujah. Can you get beyond your unbelief? Can you get beyond your pride and say, it doesn't matter what I sound like, it doesn't matter what I look like, but tonight I want Jesus to help me make the spiritual connection. Those of you that need something from God, I want your line to come to the front. I'm going to ask these pastors and preachers to help me pray for you tonight. Hallelujah. When you're up around the front, don't try to act cool and calm and collective and suave. When they lay their hand on your head, reach out and get a hold of it in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus.